each other. But on the show, let's find out what the experts have to say. I'm going to get Sujata to introduce this on the show. Sujata, good morning and welcome to Metro Mornings.
Good morning, Jane.
All right, so how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, go ahead. Why don't you introduce this entire thing and put it in perspective? Go ahead.
Okay. So today, let us explore how effective rewards are in disciplining and motivating the child. So rewards are the milder forms of disciplining the child. The harsher ones are punishments, which we did in the other show. So let us first understand what rewards are. Mm-hmm. So why don't you eat that food and then you'll get your chocolate mm-hmm. after it? Or clear up the room and then you can have a go at the TV.
This
or
is for
you
the
can
slightly
say.
Younger ones. So the
yes.
older ones, what kind
for
of rewards are you talking
okay.
about?
Okay.
Much older, so, like young adults, college going kids.
Oh, you can, the board exam is coming up, so you could say that, okay, you'll get your iPad if you get max your boards. So
does that really work?
Yes.
I have a father who said that that's something they have a communication on. Huh. Kids love technology, but is it a good way of rewarding them really?
So, but that's what we need to explore. So right. these, they call it incentives, you can call them bribes.
I've heard too much incentive stories because
okay.
I'm in sales. You know, I work in the sales department, so we work on that. Incentives drive you crazy and they drive you up the wall also, right? I mean, it is a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because when you tell a sales guy, I'm bringing a very corporate perspective to this, and you say, hey, you achieved this, and this is what you get. You get a percentage of what you bring in.
Yes.
You know, there's so many perks to the job. So you love doing it.
Yeah.
It's great as long as it lasts. But sometimes
yes.
it doesn't.
And yeah. And
is
that
down.
Is why.
What happens then? It becomes weird, isn't it? When you stop getting those rewards and you don't know what to do.
Yeah. So we want, really, when we talk to parents and they say, rewards work. Why not? It's quick. It's easy. And I can get my child to do what I want to, behave in a manner I want to. And so why not rewards? And then I say, yes, rewards work, of course, but sadly in a short-term basis.
Right. So that's what it's more a short-term kind of a game than something long-term.
Mm. So we need to see the effects of the long-term.
Metaphorically, rewards, in general. Like a parent allows a child to choose his or her own career path instead of forcing it down. Now, the rewards of that is long-term, right?
Yeah.
That who you live with, what you do in life. Now, those are some big decisions.
Mm.
If that in itself is a reward, right? If you're giving your child the opportunity to choose what he or she wants, those may be long term, but I'm talking about rewards that are little, I'll get you an iPad or, I'll take you on this little vacation.
Hmm.
These are things that are more, I think, strategic, things for more like smaller
age group or even the teenagers.
Right.
And also, let's not confuse rewards with treats and gifts, which are unconditional.
Okay.
So then you're having fun with your children, you're going out, you're having an ice cream, a movie and popcorn at home.
So
that's the difference.
Just, it's not just treats, not just little gifts.
Yes.
Not things you just give them to compensate for the time you can't spend.
Yeah.
The rewards is also probably having a beautiful dinner with everybody. Everyone cooks, everyone eats, everyone has fun. That
so
kind of rewards.
I'm talking about rewards where conditions apply, not in fine print, but in big, bold print.
Thanks very much for giving us that introduction, Sujata. I'm going to go across to Raj. Now, he's a professional with an MNC, so I'm sure corporate life is something that he's very used to. Good day, Raj, and welcome to the show.
Morning, Jane. Great to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. So, we talked about rewards and incentives. I'm going to ask you before we talk about the kids. How many kids do you have?
I have two kids, Jane.
All right. And how old are they?
18 and 16.
Super. So, that's a perfect age for them to be asking you a lot of things. A lot more than iPads, isn't it? What is
Absolutely.
The latest demand you've got?
Well,
at home.
I wouldn't put it as a demand, but there's always an
a request
aspiration.
And anticipation. What is it?
I think an iPod is very much on the cards.
All right. Yeah. Which I think is a good enough thing. Music is always something that I would encourage.
Nevertheless,
so let's go ahead to your corporate life. What do you do there? And what are some of your learnings from there which you think can be applied to children as well? Because I know rewards is a big part of your corporate life, anybody's corporate life. So what do you do and how does it work there?
Absolutely, Jane. So I actually handle part of an HR function within my company.
Okay.
And so, as you can imagine, part of HR is all about your money. Absolutely. And financial incentives.
And it's also about retention and making sure
Absolutely.
Your employees are happy, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Pretty much like keeping your kids happy.
So, I'm going to go back to that example that you just said, right?
Yeah.
Because that's spot on. You talked about incentives. But there's, and I think we need to kind of expand the definition of rewards to mm-hmm. reward and recognition, because mm-hmm. that's the current thinking in HR,
mm-hmm.
right? And you talked about engaging and retaining employees. A lot of research to show that things like incentives work temporarily,
mm-hmm.
but beyond a point, they don't sustain.
Right.
And it goes back to what we were talking about, extrinsic motivation and intrinsic motivation.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes somebody, is it always an external carrot that's making you do what you do or better mm-hmm. at what you do?
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, from different contexts and geos, they've found that it doesn't sustain, and ironically, sometimes it actually causes performance to drop off.
Mm-hmm.
So you're paying somebody additional money. If I, you know, hit an additional 10% of my target, over mm-hmm. a period of time, person loses interest.
Somewhere down the line, something
Absolutely.
Happens, right?
Yeah.
Because you're always going to be chasing that extra bit.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to sustain it in the long run. Maybe spurts of it across the financial year might be seen, but it does sometimes drop.
Absolutely.
Much against your will. So what? How do you deal with it HR terms?
So an interesting way to look at it is, you know, if you expand the concept beyond just money
mm-hmm.
and you say, okay, what are people looking for in a career, you know, just as with kids? And so there's an interesting framework. They said that three basic motivators for people to do well at what they do, whatever their chosen careers are. Again, you alluded to it. Autonomy, the ability for me to make a personal choice, right? That's a big driver.
Mm-hmm.
And to be in control of what I do. So the autonomy is one big one. The other is mastery, the ability to, you know, show myself and those around me that I'm the best, or I can get better at what I'm doing.
Absolutely. Right. So it's the kind of satisfaction and happiness a person has to feel, right? That
right.
that bubble should be there.
And which comes from within. It's not somebody else.
And that can come only if you truly love what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? Well,
and the third big one, and this mm-hmm. is a really big one, is what they call purpose.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to kind of connect what you're doing to bigger meaning in life.
Overall.
Right? Absolutely.
Right. In the
so,
large, big, white
yeah,
chart of your life, you
exactly.
need to actually see the plan.
Yeah.
And that's
why
called,
am I doing what I'm doing?
It used to be called career succession a few years ago. Is it still called that?
It's career planning, Part career development, absolutely.
And overall, your
yeah.
purpose, why
yeah.
you're here,
yeah.
what are you doing?
Why is, you know, what is this company doing? You know, am I building a cathedral or I'm cutting, you know, stones? That's the difference.
Interesting. I like the way you put that. That's a very interesting phrase. Taking that to parenting today. I mean,
mm-hmm.
If we can apply so many terms and things to our work life, this is family and this is kids and little ones we're talking about who are growing up and who are going to become adult citizens, and they're going to grow, mm-hmm. they're going to work, they're going to have their own families. How exactly do you kind of replicate this in a household?
It's interesting, and I think, you know, give you an instance from my son,
mm-hmm.
and you talked about iPads and iPods, and you know, we talked about dessert, and one of the things growing up was this whole issue of, you know, eat your veggies versus, you know, and that's maybe for smaller children.
Yeah.
But he told
no,
me something
it's something that the bigger children should also do, because I don't see too many young adults or adults eating as many vegetables
Absolutely.
As they should, but nevertheless, yeah.
So took me by surprise the insight that he came up with,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we were pushing him and he said that you can't eat your dessert, he loves ice cream, right, until you finish your veggies. And he actually turned around and said, I'll do it, you know, as long as there's dessert, but if there's no dessert, I'm not going to eat my veggies, right? So it's context driven, and I think what you need to do for children, right, and is really kind of give them an explanation of why, where you're coming from, and allow them and give that encouragement and recognition of, you know, when you think they're doing something along the right track, and leave it to them to figure out. It's tough to do. I think it doesn't come naturally to a parent. We've all been through usual tantrums and slam doors and that kind of stuff. But I think the more you read about it, you know, I've been fortunate also to be associated with Parenting Matters, right? Listening and, you know, hearing where kids are coming from is a big takeaway that, you know, I've had personally.
So that's what happened at home with your daughter. I'd like to know. I'm interested in that story.
Well, very different personality. So I think there's no uniform kind of view, but she's very driven by, you know, understanding why, right? And for her, and this applies to the workplace as much as with children, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at how you're walking the talk, right? And so she's driven very much by a sense of fairness. And if you can explain why something is, you know, the way it should be, or why
so
you're asking.
If you say, eat healthy, eat your green, she expects you to eat the same.
Yes. If you're eating junk food and telling her to, you know, you know, mind what she's eating, then it doesn't cut it.
Work, yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay, so it is a two-way street, and that's fair.
Yeah.
It's fair.
And you need to allow them to make those choices, even if they're not good choices, but then, you know, have an opportunity to dialogue after that to figure out, you know, why you said something or why, and to be willing to back down and, you know, acknowledge if you were wrong.
If you were wrong.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
For the parents, it definitely is a big thing. But I think today we're coming to a point where a conversation and a dialogue is absolutely possible. Within the realm of what we do, it is possible. Now, most people are not like, I am going to throw you out of the house if you like that boy, or if you wear that dress, if you cut your hair like that. It's no longer that dramatic.
Yeah.
If you want to watch those kind of movies, go back in the 90s and watch them.
Absolutely.
But mostly it doesn't happen. It isn't at least very dramatic. I know a lot of conservative households were also kind of changing mindsets. So I think the whole question of rewards and how you work with it, even from a very corporate context today, is changing. Chennai, this is Metro Mornings on Live and Let Live Wednesdays. Interesting conversation going on here. We're talking about rewards and how important they are when it comes to raising your kids. Are rewards any better than punishments is what we are asking about. Do rewards to truly and totally motivate? We have two lovely panelists in the house. We've Sujata on behalf of Parenting Matters. She's a certified parent educator. And we've Raj. He's a professional with an MNC. His two kids, his daughter is 18, his son is 16. And we are kind of understanding how rewards can work, whether it's the corporate setup or whether it's at home with your young kids or young adults even. Does it really work in the long run is the big question on the show. Well, right about now, let's see a little bit of the cons of the whole thing. Go ahead, Sujata, tell us a little bit about it.
You know, Jane, as you were saying, that if rewards, when you want the rewards and you don't get it, and what happens? So there was this parent who shared that when he was a teenager, he was promised a cycle, and after his exams, that you would get it if you do well. So the first year went, he really put in his effort, but the first year went like that because he really was not up to his mark. And then the second year went along, and third year, that made him so angry. And he is still angry with his parents, that's what he said, that it was like a punishment, the reward. And it's okay if he was second or third, but because he was not first in class, he did not get that reward. And so in performance, how does it demotivate performance? How it demotivates the person to do anything better? It really takes out the interest from doing a task.
Absolutely.
And focuses
so
on the reward.
Even if you look at, say, a couple of kids in school,
and
you say the ones who graded the top get the best place.
Yes.
What happens to the kids who don't get it? Because if you have 40 students or 100 students in a particular batch, there are only going to be top, like 5 kids are going to get on the top as far as the academics is concerned. So are you like telling the others, that the other 95, that they are not going to make it? Now that becomes a very big issue with the kids who are backbenchers, with kids who possibly don't have those great grades, but in life, ultimately somehow end up still doing better, I feel. So the whole reward system, even when it comes to our schools, when it comes to grades, when it comes to the marks, when it comes to telling them that this is the cutoff you require to get into great institutes, in itself is a very wrong psychology, isn't it?
Yes, and actually if you see, schools nowadays are moving out from the ranking system. They are going into comprehensive grading or evaluation. So they are understanding why this rewards may not be really good for the motivation of a child, or even how to do better in life, because that self-esteem gets
a beating.
Yes.
I'm going to put you on hold there, Sujata, and go across to Raj. But before we do that, we have a couple of callers in the phone lines. Let's see what they have to say. We have Bindu and we also have Mithun. Bindu, good day and welcome to the show.
Hi, Jane. Good day.
All right. Bindu, you got to be a little louder, as loud as you can. All right?
Good morning, Jane. Can you hear me now?
Kind of. We have been having a couple of issues with our phone lines from last evening, but any which ways. Go ahead. Tell us, what do you think?
No, I've called up to say the word.
Bindu, I'm so sorry. I cannot hear you really well. Let me see if we can sort this out. I'm going to put you on hold. Please stay there. Let's see if we have a better phone line connection with Mithun. Mithun, good day and welcome to the show.
Hi, Jane.
Yeah, good morning, Jane.
All right, there is still an issue with the phone lines. Let's see if I can get my tech guys to correct it. But Mithun, go ahead. What would you like to say? And if you could say it in short, let me try and see if I can paraphrase it for my panelists. Go ahead.
Yeah, of course. You were telling that many of the parents have moved out of this regular mindset that rewarding doesn't help something. But there are many parents who restrict their kids, even the teenagers.
All right. So what exactly is your point?
I mean, there are still parents who control their teenagers and make them freak out. Exactly what exact term that I've used. They don't get what they expect. And they start out getting in with friends and getting out for some unusual parties without even informing their parents. They'll be insecure.
Okay, I get where you're coming from, which is an extension of what Sujata has been telling us in the studio. So when you want to say reward your child with APC, whether it's a parent or whether it's a teacher, whether it's the education system or whether it's college, wherever it is, if the reward is not given, mainly because the child possibly has not achieved those impossible goals, then what happens is the child turns towards other things, and these could be, like you said, could be partying excessively, it could be substance abuse, it could be basically getting completely depressed. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes, exactly.
All right, Mithun, I'm going to put you on hold there. I'll bring Raj in here. Raj, this is the other side. It's the darker and the murkier side to the whole scheme of things as we cut deeper. What are your comments?
Well, I think essentially, Jane, and to Mithun's point, the parents who tend to have a much more controlling style, this is my perspective, right, and don't have enough dialogue, you tend to have, and it extends to the corporate context as well, you need to have a certain amount of faith in the people that you're working with or in the context of parenting with your child. Give them some room within which you trust them and then expect them to behave in a certain way, obviously mm-hmm. backed up by how you're behaving. Then there's the, what Mithun talked about, perhaps less likelihood of the freaking out or the explosion or the that's my personal perspective. And I've Absolutely. Seen it happen in the workplace as well. Right?
Mm-hmm. So don't make it excessively overtly yeah. out there.
Yeah. Trust people, set boundaries mm-hmm. and expect them to behave as adults.
And if they do not conform to what you're thinking of, say at a corporate setup, you expect them to achieve so and so things, but for whatever reasons they're not able to achieve it. How do you deal with it?
That's interesting because it goes back to, the whole performance paradigm that we have now in corporates, right? Mm-hmm. So traditionally, and you would have read a lot about this in the last year and a half, right? Traditionally, companies like GE, for instance, started out with a whole performance bell curve, right? Mm-hmm. So identify your top 10 performers, weed out your bottom 10 performers. So everybody was almost like a number, right? And that again is not sustainable now. So what we're moving towards, the more far-thinking kind of corporates are moving towards ongoing feedback and developmental feedback. So mm-hmm. you're really looking at building on strengths that people have and giving feedback to kind of mitigate weaknesses.
Do you think this also, whether it's a corporate setup or parental setup, wherever it is, when you set a kind of a performance, say benchmark, and then it doesn't happen, do you think we go back and talk about it? Is that happening wherever it is, whether it's in the family or whether it's at the workplace, or is it just generally left like untouched? People don't know what to talk about. Okay, you are writing your exams for, say, chartered accountants. You're doing your inter and you're not able to pass your finals for 3 times, 4 times. It doesn't happen for a whole number of times. Then you just stay stuck. The parent expects the child to clear it. The child expects himself or herself to clear it. It may not happen. For most people it may. For some it may not. Actually, it's the other way around. For some, it may. For most people, it doesn't. Mm. So what happens to that? Do we really talk about failure and do we really get the children to move on from that? I'm going to ask Sujata about it. What really happens? Do you think that there is where the mistake lies, more than actually setting that, okay, rewards is one part of it, benchmark is one part of it, but failure to meet with both?
Yes. So this we do not talk about failures. Failures is such a like a hush-hush thing, and we do not have it in our families. Mm-hmm. That's what. And then conversations don't revolve around failures. That what can be done if this doesn't happen? And would you like some help? Would there be inputs? How would you like learning to be? Would you want it this way, creatively? Because sometimes learning can get so bogged down, you get bogged down by studies. So how can I help you to learn? How can I help you to explore?
And how can I help you to really face failure? Now that is a big question. I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to... Good day, Chennai. This is Metro Mornings. You're with me, Jane, on Chennai Live, 104.8 FM. Live and let live. Wednesdays on the coolest radio station in town. In the studio, we have Sujata and Raj. And we're talking about how rewards to a child or to anybody, to a young adult, to someone in a corporate, how can it work against you in terms of the long term? How you want to perform in life? Is it better than punishments? Well, at the beginning of the show, of course, I thought, yes, it's better, because when you tell a child, do better and I'm going to incentivize you, children usually perform better and they at least want to go out there and get it. But when they don't get it, which could happen, and that's the law of nature, right? If you're going to have 100 people trying out something, one or two are going to come out on top and the rest, 98, are probably not going to come right on top. What happens to them? Do we divert them to other things that they can do? Are we only, like a horse with blinkers on, looking at only few things and setting only a couple of benchmarks and not looking at the whole world, what people could do? Like if a child is not good at academics, but possibly is an adventure freak, you know, wants to get out there, wants to climb mountains, wants to trek, why are we getting the child to do an engineering degree and, you know, go through the normal rut of life and then put that person in a routine? Person doesn't perform, what happens to that person? Can we not divert the child? Do we talk about failures? That's what we're also talking about on the show right now. I have a caller who's joining us on the phone lines. Unfortunately, our phone lines are still not working too well. So I request any caller to keep their statements as small and as possible. And of course, to also turn off their radio. So Kenneth, good morning and welcome to the show.
Hey, very good morning, Jane.
All right, thanks so much
You're
for joining
doing a
us.
Good job, number one.
Thank you so much.
So, about the show that we are talking about, my daughter who passed out 10th last year, she had a fixed goal of getting 3 tenths, but she got 2, and one she got 98. And the mother had promised Apple phone. So, on a surprise note, I gave her Apple phone after some time, where she was very happy about it. Okay. So, what happened over a period, the 11th standard, of course, this study did not concentrate, but she concentrated on something else, worked only on the mobile, like that it went on. So we were a little dissatisfied.
All right, so basically, I'm just paraphrasing it for everybody here. What happened is your child scored that big percentage. Mom promised a phone, you got the phone. But what happened after that was she was on the phone more than actually getting her studies done.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
How do you deal
with
that?
Moreover, I told my daughter, Dada, you know what you need to do, and I'm sure you will do what you want to do. So, she told me, she came and told me, Dad, I know what I need to do for my 12th. And this mobile, I'll have it only for 11th. When I'm stepping into 12th, I'll surrender my mobile back to you.
Okay, so basically she herself had internalized kind of a rule for the reward that you gave her.
I never set a rule.
She internalized it, right? She said she made sense of it and she said, hey, I have the boards in the class 12, so I'm going to give you back my phone in that year.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and did that work out well? Is she in class 12 now?
No, still in 11. But okay. I'm very sure that she might want to surrender the phone. She will do it, but I'm not going to do that.
Okay, you're going to just try and see how she's going to work with it, because if she wants to surrender her phone, it means she possibly is going to know how exactly to deal with it, right? She won't be too much on the phone. I said, now that she's wanting to surrender her phone for her boards next year, at least she's in the mindset that she's not going to be on the phone for a long time. Too long stretches, right?
Exactly.
All right. Thanks so much, Kenneth, for joining us on the phone lines and sharing with us that story. I'm going to go across to our panelist, Sujata. Sujata, you heard Kenneth talk to us. And interesting, isn't it? I mean, what he's saying.
Yes.
Children themselves have a way of dealing with their own rewards.
Yes, and it was very nice because the parent wanted to set boundaries, but actually his daughter is setting boundaries or setting her own limits. So she's quite mature in dealing with this reward.
Can we expect every child to be this way, or every person in a corporate setup to be this way? Can we expect that?
Like Raj was saying, why are we giving rewards? Because somewhere we're not trusting the child to do some things on his own and what is right. I think so, because even when a child is behaving in a certain manner, and we want to change that behavior, maybe like hitting. So one child was hitting his sister, and the parents said, okay, I'm going to give you these gold stars for a month and I'll see that you're not going to hit your sister. You're going to get a treat at the or a reward at the end. And then he really controlled himself for the whole month. Then what? His hands raised up but just got it down because he was in this wanting that reward. And so at the end of the month, fine, it was great. He did not hit his sister, so he got his reward. But next day, shocking, mother was shocked to see that the child started hitting the sister again. So why? Because he's saying, I'm not getting a gold star today. So it's like, I mean, but what is, the behavior is temporary, but we need to go deeper. The parent needs to understand. And it is well-intentioned parents whose actions are good for the children. They're thinking they're motivating or encouraging the child not to do something. But this happens and the mother thought that, okay, can I see beyond the behavior? Why is he hitting? What is something, maybe the root cause of hitting? So I think we need to go beyond rewards to see what lies in that behavior.
Absolutely. It's not just about one particular pattern, about you know, everything in life, especially when it comes to a corporate setup. I'm going to bring in Raj. Raj, I mean, yeah, incentives are four numbers a particular month, right? But at the end of the day, whatever numbers are happening or not happening, whether it's sales or whether it's, you know, even a job which is creatively bound, say how well you do a project, unless it's instinctual, unless you really want to do it, is the incentive system really going to work in the long run? Why don't you answer that for us?
Yeah. My view personally, it's definitely not going to be sustainable change. So it will work, you know, like in the example, it might work for a particular period, but then you're going to hit, even with your top performers, a lack of what next, right? There's always an additional 10% that you can aspire for. So really you have to look back in the context of, okay, why am I doing this? Can I do, instead of an incentive, can I give somebody a role enhancement, for instance, right? Can I give him an opportunity to, you know, prove that he is developing something new? Those are the self-directed, you know, and inner motivators that actually allow you to keep a long-term employee engaged and productive, right? So my view is incentives, either in, you know, the workplace, and there's a direct translation even for, you know, kids, I don't think it's sustainable, because you really need to tap into why a person is doing something. And I think you made a great point about feedback, because feedback, even in the corporate world, I think that's something doesn't come naturally to us, because you need to be able to make the feedback constructive.
One of the main reasons for attrition? Because people are frustrated with what they're going through. They can't talk about it to anybody. And the role of the HR is very important in that case, because if you're not able to talk to them, or you want to replace them immediately, or you want to fire them, or you want to get somebody new, there's always this sense of insecurity. And that means it's just going to breed more negativity and it's not going to go anywhere.
Absolutely, Jen.
Are people talking about it anymore? Like,
no, it's very, very topical. Very topical. And I think, you know, it's not something that's, we've kind of found a magic bullet. But to your point, it boils down to the communication effectiveness, and we're experimenting with things like, you know, 360 feedback. It's no longer once end of the year you go and meet your supervisor and he tells you what a great job or what a bad job you've done. You have no idea or no data to back that, right? So it's constant feedback, and you're giving feedback which is constructive. You know, you're pointing out specific behaviors or specific areas that you want someone to develop, and then you're providing the employee a way to develop those, right? And we're moving away from, you know, a very unilateral, monolithic kind of feedback system. And I think that's where, you know, corporates as well as, you know, any other organizational improvement performance management systems are heading.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Constant feedback, constant engagement, whether it comes to the workplace, whether it comes to home. At the end of the day, if you're not always talking about things, if you're not looking at course correction, whether it's rewards or whether it's punishment or whether it's any short-term kind of ways to deal with the situation, is only going to work for that short term, and it's going to hit you harder when you're coming out of it. So it's better to take it one step at a time. It's better to teach failure, you know, lessons in failure. They say, you know, only if you if you share lessons in success, you know, what Bill Gates did and what Steve Jobs did, or in the case of some popular politicians, they sometimes switch the stories because they don't know who they're talking about. But yeah, that's the cases of success, right? When it comes to success, everybody wants to know those stories. But those stories of failure, I think, are as important. The stories of how you can divert after a failure, the stories of what you can do with what you can't do. Is, I think, the bigger lessons we need to learn. On the other, good day, Chennai. This is Metro Mornings. You're with me, Jane, on Chennai Live 104.8 FM. Live and let live Wednesdays on the coolest radio station in town. We have a bunch of callers that we have. We're going to say hi to them, and then we're going to go across to our panelists. On the show today, we're talking about rewards, rewarding a child. I mean, we started with the simple rewards, like, you know, you treat your child, does well in the exams, give it an iPad or give it an iPod or whatever it wants. And then, you know, later we spoke about how those rewards become a little more complicated because, you know, you reward one child in the family, you don't reward the other child. Or at the workplace, you reward one team member for doing well and then the rest of them are kind of ignored. Then we talked about how the whole process of failing at something, failing at least with respect to your performance benchmark set by other people. You know, if you're in a team and this is what you expect it to do, you don't perform and thereby, you know, you're called a failure and then you get into depression. You don't know how to deal with it. So the whole process of rewards, it's a very deep conversation. It's not just something superficial. It's not just about one thing you throw at your child or give your child or you give a person in your team. But it really is about the psyche of that person, what somebody really wants from life, the purpose, the meaning, the way that you get out of it. So that's where we are at. I'm going to get another angle into it with our panelists for a closing set of statements, but we have two callers right now. We're going to say hi to them. We have Sachin and we have Rajan. Sachin, good day and welcome to the show. Vanakkam, sir. Welcome.
Hello.
All right, Mr. Sachin, go ahead. Tell us, what do you think?
Hi, Jaina. Yeah, I'm into business, imports of household products.
Great. And what's your comment on what we're talking about right now?
Sorry?
What is your comment on what we're talking about right now?
I have the answer of your question.
You have the answer to my question. Yes, what's the answer? Go ahead, tell
it's
me.
Coconuts.
Coconuts, that is absolutely right. But Sachin, you are in business. How many people work with you in your business?
We are a team of about 20, around 20 people total.
All right, 20. And out of 20, does everybody have a very, very defined role in the organization, in the business?
Yeah, you can say kind of.
Okay, how do you make sure that everyone performs without, you know, creating that kind of an extreme competitive spirit inside and making one work against each other? How do you make sure that they all work as a team? What's your mantra?
Well, basically, all have different roles, so we ensure that, you know, nobody gets into other person's role and they disturb other person.
Alright, so basically you make sure that everyone's doing their own thing and thereby they're competing honestly with themselves and overall the goal of the company is thereby met. You don't
exactly.
Pit one against another. You don't do that.
Exactly.
You don't do that at all? Ever?
Never, no. I don't have to do it because all have different roles, so they don't really you know.
Did you purposely do this for a small and medium business, I guess, with under 30-40 people? It's possible to kind of etch everyone's role differently, isn't it?
Right, very much. Very
and then
much.
The owner of the business takes it with them. Do you have regular chats with the employees and see what they're doing, how things are going?
Yeah, we do on a monthly basis, yes.
Okay, and say something is not working for somebody and they don't know how to take it forward. Do you have alternative plans? Do you kind of toggle roles? Do you do that?
We do it sometimes and we do it for some time, but then if it doesn't work, then you just have to fire them out.
Alright, unfortunately that is the reality of the situation and you got to fire them if it doesn't work, but you do try, you give it a couple
of
shots.
Yeah, because we want our system to work, we can't get the system for depending on every person, you know.
I get where you're coming from. So this is the other side of the story. Thanks so much, Sachin, for sharing that with us. I will ask Raj about this, but I'm going to go across to Rajan, our second caller, who's joining us on the phone lines. Thanks, Sachin. Thanks for your answer. Interesting. We do have something to give away to one caller on the show today. We'll declare the winner towards the end. Rajan, good day and welcome to the show.
Hi, good day. How are you, Jane?
I'm doing fantastic, Rajan. Tell us, are you a first-time caller?
No, I'm not.
You've called us a couple of times. Tell us, what do you think about the topic at hand?
Yeah, the reward is reward and punishment. I'm having this problem with my kids. You know, I have two kids. One is 9 years old, and another one is 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, suddenly he's great, sort of falling. And then the last week I had a chat with him, like one-on-one and without shouting up and down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I was talking to him, he was saying, Papa, I have no reward.
Yes, every time you talk about Pauling grades, he complains that you're not giving him anything.
Then I talked to my wife, and she came up with a reward system that, you know, if he does things properly, he gets a point, and then the points will convert it into money. I mean, we don't really want to link the money to money part of it, but we have no choice because we like to motivate him to do things better.
So sometimes the kids bully you into creating your own system at home, like which you would have never thought about before, but you're like, okay, I need the kid to go out and do something, so let's figure out some system.
That's right.
Did it work? I mean, did this entire point system, giving cash, you know, like whatever bonus money, here, take this money and go today, did that work? Pocket money?
Yeah, actually, we just started, it's about a week now, and we are just collecting points for him, and he's pumped up to do things better, and he's getting up early and does things properly, and then ask the mom to put the points, you know. So.
Alright, so he is excited about this. You've just started this. All the best. I'm sure, you know, every family comes up with their own systems. In my house, I don't know if there were any points in cash. I wish there was. I wish I'd talked to you earlier, you know, when I was doing school. I'd have gone to my dad and said, I want points, I want stars, and I want some cash. Yeah? Thank you very much, Rajan. All the best with your kids. And tell us, we'll track your progress maybe 2-3 weeks down the line and see how it works. Yeah?
Yeah, I'll do that, yeah.
Thank you very much. Well, Mr. Raj, I'm going to come across to you for the first caller, and then I'll go for the second caller to our other panelist in the house. Well, tell us, Raj, you know, you heard Sachin. So, companies and corporates are not built, you know, for people. Of course, it's utopian to think that it's people who make the company, and it's true. It is the truth, because if your people are not happy, the company is going to collapse at some point in time or the other, because as of now, we still don't have robots working 100% in any company. It's impossible. You have machines, but you still need men to run the entire system. But they have their own goals as well. They have their own vision. They have their own motives. And when you look at small and medium enterprises, they will have to, for sustenance, make sure that the business model runs right. So you can possibly talk to somebody who is not performing as per your rules once or twice, but after that, if that person doesn't perform, person has to be fired. So this is also the kind of case that happens with kids, right? Certain times, because you can keep telling them about, you know, rewards on and off, but it could drop out and it could not work. So how exactly do you deal with this?
Okay, so if you look at the corporate context, you're absolutely right, I think, Jane. I think the way to look at it in today's day and age is that no one really joins up, you know, a job for life, right? Mm-hmm. And so whether it's small or medium or a larger corporation, right? You're always going to have folks that come in and move on for whatever reason. You mm-hmm. know, they're not performing, or they have the interests lie elsewhere. So I think the challenge for somebody, you know, who's employing folks is to make sure that they hire for fit with not just, you know, skills, but what the company and company's values stand for.
Absolutely. So from the word go, keep your mission clear. Make sure that the person is the right fit as best as you can.
Yeah.
And then figure things out. Instead of just hiring randomly.
Yeah. And to your point about engagement, what really works is, you know, you have what any company stands for in the market. When somebody comes in and joins you as a company, he's joining you for a certain set of attributes that he's hoping to get, you know, money, career growth, you know, opportunities to travel, whatever it is, right? And then you're messaging a certain set of values when you're hiring people from the market, right? The closer you can get to congruence, what you're branding and what you're messaging, then that kind of is a little bit more authentic, and you'll have tend to hire and keep people more who kind of fit in with that.
So drawing a parallel to that within the household, you know, creating a reward system like our second caller, Mr. Rajan, said, they should also be more realistic, right? Keep the child in mind. Don't just think of yourself. Don't think of, okay, this is what I want for my child, so these are the things the child has to do. There has to be conversations. I think the feedback has to be more relevant to what the child wants. Like, you have two kids. How relevant do you make it in terms of the engagement?
So I love that example, because, you know, when my kids are 16, 18 now, but, you know, we went through a stage where, you know, we would give something like, you know, stars to my son for, mm-hmm. you know, when he and his sister were having, you know, typical sibling issues.
Mm-hmm.
But again, goes back to the point of sustainability. Do you want the child to do it for an X reward or handout or kind of pat on the back? Or do you want to, him or her to do it because they really believe that's the way to do it? So mm-hmm. I think for children, at least what we've figured out by trial and error, is that you need to draw boundaries and you need to also let them know consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that it's always hunky-dory and that you will get told off. There will be situations where you have a timeout or being grounded. So there are consequences. I mean, I hate to use the word punishment, but as adults, we all have consequences of decisions and absolutely. Actions.
Absolutely. If you're not going to be giving out or doling out that consequence, somebody else ultimately will.
Correct.
Like a company is going to fire you, a relationship is not going to work out. It's not just within a parent-child equation.
So you build
right?
that ability in the child to see mm-hmm. that there is a choice.
Okay.
And there is an outcome based on the choice they make. I think that's an important
thing. And if
they
do make the wrong choice, then let them deal with the consequence and then you kind of have a conversation with them about how the next time around they make a better and more informed
correct.
Decision.
But
right?
as a parent, then you've always got to have that, what I think Sujata said, that unconditional, you know, irrespective of what you do, you're still my child. There's an unconditional love there.
Absolutely.
But that really comes within boundaries and you need to set, allow them to figure out their, you know, how they're going to take those.
Interesting. So it's a very, very crucial balance. So wherever it is, unless you find that balance, it's very, very difficult. I'm going to go across to Sujata. So we have two callers.
Yeah.
And one of them with younger kids and the other more from a corporate perspective.
Yeah.
So I guess from the corporate perspective, you can't expect a parent-child kind of an equation between your boss and an employee.
Mm-hmm.
Not always. I mean, it can happen. You can have mentors, but it need not happen always.
Yeah.
But when it comes to your kids, when it comes to how you help them deal with life,
yes.
there definitely is a better way to do this, isn't it?
Yes.
What
surely.
Would be your overall like wrap up on the show today?
See, like you started with, a dialogue. Why does a child need a reward linking it with his performance? So the money or the money could be just a pocket money
mm-hmm.
or separately. The reward can be separate, not linking with something the child is doing or performing well or behaving well. Do not have that. Otherwise, in our workshop, we speak about having dialogues, conversations, or even like setting limits. Have a choice. Give choices at home instead of saying, I'll give you a reward if you do lay the table or clear the table up. But here as a family, how are we contributing to one another? How are we sharing with one another? And that way we inculcate values in our children than being very transactional. So, and then conversations can be, okay, if you don't like to do this chore, okay, what else you like to do? So we have a dialogue about that. And then the kids can be autonomous in what they want to do.
Absolutely. And you start there, I mean, whether it's the chores they do at home.
Yes.
Or whatever it is.
And they choose their subjects. It goes.
It extends into life. Whether it's a relationship, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a career choice. They're always, they know that if they're going to hit a wall, there is going to be another door that they can open elsewhere.
Yes.
But if you're going to punish them, you know, they're going to just stay stuck there. So the way to get this forward is really to talk to somebody.
Yes.
Is to always have a mentor in your parent if possible.
Yeah, and so nice to fall back on your parent, and that resilience comes from the conducive environment at home.
Absolutely.
So,
well, thanks so much for sharing that with us. Of course,
thank
I did
you.
Want to talk.